Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you.
things of this world. Seems so beautiful. I don't think of your eyes. Oh, remembering the days when you used to pray. The things of this world. So precious, so beautiful. God, you know. Thank you.
For this day, we thank you for this opportunity, Lord, to come and bow down before you this morning, worship and praise you, O God, because you are the Most High God. You are the Everlasting Father. You are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You are the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. O my Father, my Savior, my Redeemer, my soon coming King, we thank you this morning, Lord. We thank you for blessing us with eyes to hear, eyes to see, ears to hear, and mouth to speak, O God. We pray, O Lord God, that you will lead us and guide us into all truth, God. We submit to your way and to your will. Lord Jesus, we ask you to speak to us and speak through us this morning. In the mighty name of Jesus, we are going to be doing part two of the message that we did on Friday. Glory to God. Come up with First John chapter 5. Glory to God, the last chapter in First John. And one of the computers are acting up, but we are going to be able to work it as we desire this morning by the Spirit of the Lord. First John chapter 5 and glory to God, verse 1, and let's see what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to us today. And the Bible talks about faith in the Son of God. Father, we ask that you bless our eyes and our ears and our lips of clay, that we might see and hear and speak your word, O God. Lord, none of me but all of you have been decreased this morning. We ask you, we pray that you would increase in us. Father, we ask this morning, your mercy and grace rest upon us, Lord. Forgive us of our sins as we forgive those who sin against us, O God. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Thank you for Brother Deacon Fraser here with us always, even if he's somewhere else. He tuned his phone in so that he can hear us. We had a great time with him last night and Mother Grant. And we had to get off so we can get this word together for today. Hallelujah. We thank the Lord. We praise the Lord. And we glorify the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, we got to keep on praising him. We got to keep on praising him in spite of what it feel like or what it sound like. It doesn't matter what's going on in the world. You know, the world, a lot of things are happening in the world to distract us, delay us, and if possible, hinder us from praising our God, from giving our God worship and giving him adoration. But we are going to praise him in spite of what it looked like or seemed like. We are going to praise him because we don't praise him because that things are happening good for us or things are happening bad. We praise him because he's God, because he is our Savior, because he is our Redeemer. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And we are excited. My phone was acting up a little bit, so we had to get a new phone. Don't cost me but $1 a month, though. I tell you, because my phone wasn't still looked good, so they can fix what the problem is going on. It was going out and in and out from time to time, but we got a new phone yesterday. Only cost me $1 a month. I tell you, God is so good. They worked it out that he could put our phone right back in and give us a credit on the phone. So we only have to pay like $1 a month. I tell you, God is good. Hallelujah. Let's go into the word. Let's go into the word and hit this word with the hammer of God. Here, John is saying, he said, we're talking about the subject matter. The topic today is where will your final destination be? Where will your final destination be? You know, they tell you at the funeral home, the man come and talk to you, and he says, "Do you know where your lover will be, where your family member will go when they leave here? Where is their final destination?" They tell you, they say, "Are you prepared for the final destination?" And they're trying to sell you what you call it a insurance plan for a contract, so that when you cross over, your family member, whoever's alive, would know they didn't have to worry because they bought a contract from that funeral home to purchase the casket or whatever you want to, or cremation. What are you going to do? How are you going to be buried with them? But all they're doing, they're concerned getting you in the grave, getting you in the ground, and making some money off of your death. But what we're talking about is your soul, not your body. Your soul. We want to know, do you know? Do you have an idea? And you say, well, nobody knows where they're going to go when they leave here, and that's true. But you can have an idea. You can have a basic idea of where you're going to end up by the way you live. By the way you live. If you're living like a hoodlum, you know without a shadow of doubt you're going to hell. But if you're trying your best and living according to God's word, obedient to God's word, you got a strong belief. You ought to have a strong belief because I'm obedient to his word. I'm obedient to his instructions. I got a strong belief that I'm going to go back with him when he comes. I got a strong belief that he's going to receive me as his child, as his daughter, as his son. You can say that boldly. But if you're not living and obeying the instructions that he's written down here in this book for us, we can't see that with boldness. John says, everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has become a child of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves his children too. You know, we find that sometimes, I mean, being honest with you, sometimes we can find ourselves saying that we love the Lord, but then we don't love another brother or sister. I hear Deacon Fraser say that all the time. People say, they say they love you, but they really don't love you. They say they love you, and that's true. You know, it doesn't mean that because that you love me that you're not going to correct me, though. You're supposed to correct me. If you really love me, you're supposed to correct me. Why would you let me do something that is stupid or idiotic? And you're my brother, you're my sister. I always tell Apostle Washington, I said, woman of God, if you hear or see, I'm doing something. I told Apostle Stewart, if you see or hear I'm doing something wrong, please correct me. Don't let me die and go to hell because I'm a man and I'm this and that. No, I'm a man, but so men go to hell. Women go to hell too, straight from the church, because they're too prideful and they don't want nobody to correct them. But, you know, if I get you, if I love, if you'll correct me, I have a good chance that I'm going to go to heaven. A good chance. Why? Because if I correct and I take the corrections, hallelujah, glory to God. This is what he says. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has become a child of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves his children. We are supposed to be the children of God. I'm supposed to love Brother Deacon Fraser. I'm supposed to love Brother Willie Brown. I'm supposed to love Brother our Sister Evangelist Brown, Evangelist Campbell, Evangelist Sheila. I'm supposed to love the Apostle Washington, Apostle Stewart, Apostle Millie Jefferson. All of the people of God I'm supposed to love. And not only them, but I have to love those that are outside the household of faith. That means the ones that are not saved, the ones that don't belong to the body of Christ. This is what the Word of Satan says. We know we love God's children if we love God and obey. Oh, my God, this is it here, right here. We know we love God's children if we love God, see, and obey his commandments. This is the key right here. This is how you know you're going to enter in. You love God. You love God's children, and you obey his words. His commandments, from Genesis to Revelation, not just the Ten Commandments, because we like to pick and choose out of the book what we're going to do or what we're going to adhere to, you know, what we're going to submit to, what we're going to commit to. We pick out. That's why a lot of us get upset and we get bent out of shape when somebody corrects us. I used to be like that, too. When I was in Virginia, man, I said, man, I ain't going back to their church. Who they think they are talking to me? I didn't tell nobody, but I was telling myself that. I said, man, I'm walking and talking to myself. I ain't going back to that church. Who do you think they are talking to me like that? But you know what? I realized that when I got the corrections, by the time I get home, God was speaking to me. And God was telling me, he said, look, that's me talking to you. I love you enough to have my servant to talk to you. Because God is not coming down from heaven to correct you. He's not coming down from heaven to correct me. He's going to use you to correct me. He's going to use me to correct you, correct somebody else. You're going to use other people to correct me. Why? Because we are his mouthpiece here on earth. We speak what God speaks. We say what God says to say, just like Ezekiel. What God says speak, he speaks. He spoke. He spoke to the people. They got mad with him. Just like Moses. When Moses spoke what God said, what did the people do? They wanted to stone Moses to death. They wanted to stone Moses. When Jesus spoke what the Father told him to speak, guess what happened? They wanted to stone him. Three times they tried to stone him. He slipped away from them. We talked about that the other day. Here we go on. Let's go on. Verse 3. Love God. Loving God means keeping his commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome. His commandments are not burdensome. They don't weigh you down. They, as a matter of fact, instead of make it burdensome to you or to us, his commandments lighten the load for us. It shows us what we've been holding on to, what has been keeping us in bondage that we don't need to hold on to. His commandments help us to let go and let God. Every child of God defeats the evil world. You hear that? Every child of God defeats the evil world. And we achieve this victory through our faith. See, we believe that Jesus has done what he has done at the cross for us. And because that we believe in that, that's our faith. We have victory through Christ Jesus. Understand? Not because of what the world says, what somebody, my mama says, daddy says, or my wife says, or my husband says, but because of what he has done at the cross. We are victorious. We put our faith in the finished work of the cross. Our faith is in the finished work of the cross. Because he lived, we can live. We live and we can face tomorrow. Hallelujah. That's where our faith is. Our faith is in Christ Jesus. And who can win this battle against the world? Only those who believe that Jesus is the Son of God. See, this is the battle of the world. It's that thing that leads us
into hell. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. So we can stand flat-footed and say, look, I believe that because of what Christ has done at the cross, and because I'm obedient to his word, and because I love my brothers and sisters, I stand a good chance of being with Jesus in paradise. And Jesse, taking his time with his here. He said, and Jesus Christ was revealed as God's son by his baptism in water and by shedding his blood on the cross. Not by water only, but by water and blood. And the Spirit, who is truth, confirms it with his testimony. So we have these three witnesses. See, we have these three witnesses. The Spirit, the water, and the blood. These are the three witnesses that confirms that Jesus is who he is, that he has done what he has done. We have the Spirit living on the inside of us now to lead us and guide us. The Spirit, the water, and the blood, all three agree. Since we believe human testimony, surely we can believe the greater testimony that comes from God. And God has testified about his Son. All who believe in the Son of God know in their hearts that this testimony is true. Those who don't believe this are actually calling God a liar, because they don't believe what God has testified about his Son. And this is what God has testified. He has given us eternal life. See this? This is where our destination is. He has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have God's Son does not have life. So what is the conclusion to this? Is that we have to get Christ. We have to believe in the finished work of the cross. We have to submit to the work that he has done at the cross, that he has laid down his life according to John chapter 10. He has laid down his life for all sins, all transgressions, all iniquities. This is what the Son of the living God did for you and I, for us. So here, let me take a glance back here. We're going to go to verse 13. In a quick second, let me just look back here at this other thing, because the computers are messing up a little bit this morning. First John chapter 5 and verse 13. John says, I have written this to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know you have eternal life. John wants us to know that if we believe in Christ Jesus, as you hear Bishop James Washington says, when he do get a chance to get on here, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believe in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. It's right there in the book. So, John said, I'm penning this thing down here in this book, on the parchment paper, that you might know. You might know that you have access to eternal life through your faith in Christ Jesus. Through your faith. The Bible says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, that not of works, not of yourself. It is the good, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. This is what the Bible says. True grace. You have been saved through grace by faith. You have been saved. By grace you have been saved through faith. By grace. The grace, unmerited favor of God. He said, and we are confident that he hears us whenever we ask for anything that pleases him. See, the key is asking for things that pleases God, not things that pleases mankind. We want stuff that pleases everybody else. Well, if I get this, if I get that big house, if I get that, everybody going to know that I'm blessed. What about asking God to touch us with the anointing that other people would know that we belong to him and come to seek him through us? That we be the light that shines in dark place, in the dark place. Jesus was the light shining in the dark place. We saw the light and we came to the light. And he delivered us out of darkness. So now we got to be that light that's on a hill, that people can see the light shining when we walk, when we talk, how we treat people, the light shines. Glory to God. Let's finish this up. Hallelujah. Let's go on through this word and do this thing for the Lord. Hallelujah. You know we're working for the Lord right now, Brother Deacon. We are working for the Lord. Listen to what he says. And since we know he hears us, when we make our request, we also know that he will give us whatever, what we ask for. And if we see a fellow believer sinning in a way that does not lead to death, you should pray. And God will give that person life. But there is a sin that leads to death. I am not saying you should pray for those who commit it. He's saying that you should not be in agreement with someone because that is sinning. But he said you should pray while you're praying. You're praying that they should, that God would help them to get out of that dark place that they're in. Hallelujah. We're never going to be in agreement with sin. But we're going to pray for sinners. Somebody pray for you. Somebody pray for us. Somebody pray for me. When I was sinning. And I didn't know they were praying for me. I'm sure you didn't know they were praying for you either. But somebody prayed for me. And that prayer unlocked the door that had me bound inside, and I was able to get out. Hallelujah. God honored that prayer of that person that was interceding for me. And I was able to step out of darkness and step into the marvelous light of God. This is what it's all about. Hallelujah. John is speaking so clearly to believers and unbelievers alike. That the word is not just for us, for those that are not saved, but primarily for us. He says, if you see a believer, a fellow believer, that's a Christian, sinning in a way that does not lead to sin, they may be lead to death. They may be just committing, playing dice, or maybe smoking a marijuana, maybe drinking some alcohol, maybe cussing. You should pray for them. Don't judge them, but pray for them. He said, and God will give that person life. He give them another chance. He said, but there is this sin. The sin that he's talking about is when you blaspheme against the Holy Ghost. You sin against the Holy Ghost. That is to death. He said, I'm not saying that you should pray for those who commit sin. You know. They're just habitually. He said, look, all wicked actions are sin. But not every sin leads to death. Here it is. And he's talking about spiritual death. Not all sin leads to spiritual death. You can repent from the sins and be set free. The ones that don't lead to spiritual death, death of the soul, and be free. But if you cuss against the Holy Spirit, you can't repent. There's no repentance for you. He said that. And he went on and said, we know that God's children do not make a practice of sinning. For God's son holds them securely, and the evil one cannot touch them. Highlight that in your Bible. Verse 18. We know that God's children do not make a practice of sinning. For God's son holds them securely, and the evil one, Satan, the devil, Diablo, Beelzebub, cannot touch them. We know that we are children of God, and that the world cannot use, and the world around us, let's read that again. We know that we are children of God, and the world around us is under the control of the evil one. And we know that the Son of God has come, and he has given us understanding so that we can know the true God. See, Satan is the god of this world. This is why a lot of times you hear people say, well, I believe in God. You ought to ask them which God, because they may be believing in the god of this world. Not the God that went to the cross. Not the one that gave his life up for us. Hallelujah. You hear what I'm saying today? Glory to God. And we know that the Son of God has come, and he has given us understanding so that we can know the true God. And now we live in fellowship with the true God, because we live in fellowship with his son, Jesus Christ. He is the only true God, and he is eternal life. Dear children, keep away from anything that might take God's place in your hearts. Hallelujah. Let's go to that was 1 John chapter 5, verse 1 to 21. Let us go over to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. We are not going to be too long today. Take my word for it. Matthew chapter 5. Matthew, in the same Bible, New Living Translation. Matthew chapter 5. And verse 27 to 30. You have heard the commandments that say you must not commit adultery. But I say, anyone who even looks at a woman with lust has already committed adultery with her in his heart. So if your eye, even your good eye, cause you to lust, gouge it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose a part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your hand, even your stronger hand, causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose a part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. Now, he's not physically saying saying that just get a sword and cut off your hand. He is saying, in a sense, stay away from those things. Stay away from those things that will cause you or lead you to hell. Hallelujah. So let's go to Luke. Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18. I was preaching from this book sometime. Luke chapter 18. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Luke chapter 18. And let's start at verse 18. I read this from a little while ago. Luke chapter 18, verse 18, 27. And let's look at this over here. Luke 18 and 27. The books are so powerful. 18 and verse 18. Luke chapter 18, verse 18. Once a religious leader asked Jesus this question. He said, "Good teacher, what should I do to inherit eternal life?" And we're talking about, where will your final destination be? Heaven or hell, part two. We're going to go somewhere else tomorrow if the Lord say the same. And Jesus replied to him, "Why do you call me good teacher?" Jesus asked him. "Only God is truly good." Jesus says, "Only God is truly good." Hallelujah. "But to answer your question," Jesus says, "you know the commandments. You must not commit adultery. You must not murder. You must not steal. You must not testify falsely. Honor your father and your mother." The man replied, "I have obeyed all these commandments since I was young." When Jesus heard this, his answer, he said, "There's still one thing you haven't done." Jesus said to the man, "Sell all your possessions and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." But when the man heard this, he became very sad, for he was very rich. And when Jesus saw this, he said, "How hard is it for the rich to enter the kingdom of God?" See, the man's heart was connected to his money, to his riches, to his gold, to his fancy clothes, to his automobile, to his motor car, to his jet, to his yacht. In today's time, he probably didn't have a jet back then. He probably didn't have a yacht back then. But he had much wealth. Hallelujah. He was rich in the things of the time. He was very rich. And the Bible says that Jesus saw this. He saw the man's countenance change. His face looked different. He was sad because he didn't want to get rid of, sell all the stuff that he had and give it to the poor. And Jesus said, "How hard is it for the rich to enter the kingdom of heaven?" Today we're looking at all these billionaires. You know, that's the thing in the news now, but billionaires and millionaires. That's all you hear, you see and hear on YouTube and Instagram and Periscope and all this, all of these different websites and NBC and MSNBC and all this stuff. All these different television stations, all they're talking about the rich, this body rich, this billionaire, this millionaire, this trillionaire, and all this stuff. But Jesus says it's going to be hard for a rich person to enter the kingdom, because they put their hope, all their hope in their riches. They put their hope in their riches.
their cars, their homes, their yachts, their planes, and the gold and silver and all this stuff, diamonds and all. They put their hope, their trust in all this. I'm a rich man. I can do it. I can say anything. You see, what's his name? Elon Musk. He's a billionaire. He say anything he want to. And nobody don't fuss with him because he got so much money. Bill Gates do anything. Goes over to Africa and take drugs over there and kill the people because he wants to control the black race. Bill Gates, yes. Nobody saying that to him. And he feel that he's getting away. Do you know how when the wicked act up, they feel they're getting away? They can escape the judgment hand of God. They feel they can escape. But God sees all because he sits high and sees low. In fact, Jesus says, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. When I first heard this when I was a little kid, I just said, well, how can a camel, a big giant camel, go through the eye of a needle? But God was using this analogy just to show you how hard it would be for a rich man who puts his trust in all of the things of this world to go to heaven. How hard it is that it would be easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. Those who heard this said, then who in the world can be saved? And Jesus replied, what is impossible for people is possible for God. Peter said, we have left all our homes to follow you. Yes, Jesus replied. And I assure you that everyone who has given up house or wife or brothers or parents or children for the sake of the kingdom of God will be repaid many times over in this life and will have eternal life in the world to come. Hear what Jesus is saying. People today find it very hard, very difficult to serve the Lord. They have an excuse for everything, why they can't do this and why they can't do that. Let's go to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 21. Matthew chapter 6, verse 21. Jesus speaks all the time. He says, Jesus is teaching about money and possessions here. You see, your possessions, your money, the stuff will keep you out, keep us out of heaven, most of us. Because our mind is so much on the stuff that we forget about taking care of our soul. Our mind is connected to all the materialistic things that we gain in this world. Jesus says, Matthew 6 and 21, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. If you got your mind on your treasures, that's where your heart is. Wherever you put your interest is, that's where your heart. Brother Deacon is on this line, even if he don't say a word. He's on this line every morning. Even if I don't come on, sometimes I might go. Like this morning, I want to go to fellowship with the church, but I had planned yesterday that I would bring a message today. I want to fellowship with another church, but it's very hot here today. Very hot. Here we see, Jesus said in verse 19, Matthew chapter 6, don't store up your treasures here on earth where moths eat them and rust destroy them and their thieves break in and steal.
Store your treasures in heaven where moths and rust cannot destroy and thieves do not break in and steal. Wherever your treasure is, there your desires, there the desires of your heart will also be. Jesus makes it very plain. Store up the things that you really care for in heaven. Live a lifestyle that glorifies God. Romans chapter 6 and 23 says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. If we continue living the lifestyle that we're living, we will end up in hell. You will end up in hell. There's no two ways about it. Here in the book of Luke chapter 19 and verse 10. Luke 19 and verse 10 in the King James Version. It says, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. He come to seek and to save that which is lost. Luke 19 and verse 10. The Bible says in Romans 3 and 23, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So we know that since that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and so we have been living a sinful lifestyle. And even now, as we are saved and sanctified and washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, that Satan is still have his agents attesting and trying our flesh to get us back into the sinful mode that we were in, so that we wouldn't make it in. The walk that we are walking is not without a test. You will be tested every day. You'll be tested on your job. You'll be tested at home. You'll be tested in church. You know, we have been church and the women look so good in the church that you can't even keep your mind on hearing with the pastor saying. You're distracted by that young woman that looks so good. Her dress is so tight. She's wearing some pants and they're so tight. And you're looking at her behind. Her top is so low, cut so low that you can see the crevices of her breasts. And you're focusing on them. You understand? Distracting you. All of this is Satan in the house. He said, well, how can he come in the house? He come in the house. Then in the book of Job, he said that when the sons of God came in to worship God, they come before God, Satan was right there present. So don't think he can't come into that church building. He can come in that church building. As a matter of fact, he's sitting right up there on the altar. Right there on the altar. That's where you got to keep your mind on the word of God. And you got to ask God to continue to keep you focused. So keep us focused, Lord. Lord, keep me focused. Sometimes my mind goes this place and goes that place, Lord. I need you to keep me focused. Hallelujah. Why? Because you don't want to be distracted. Looking for a book here. And glory to God. I know that's right here. I only got two more scriptures to give to you today, and we're going to get out of here. One short book. Jude. Jude is only one chapter, so let's look at verse 23. Jude 23. And he says, and others say with fear, pulling them out of the fire, heating even the garments spotted by the flesh. Jude. Let's go up to verse 14. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these things. Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all the ungodly deeds. And they have ungodly committed, and of all the hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are murderers, complainers, walking after their own lusts, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. But, beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time, who shall walk after their own ungodly lust. These be there who separate themselves sensually, having not the Spirit. See, they say you got to keep your eyes open. There is people that's going to mock you. They're going to laugh at you. Hallelujah. They're going to judge you. They're going to call you all manner of names that's not in the book, because they do not know the Savior. They do not have a relationship with him. Hallelujah. They speak great words that they could be admired by other people of the world. You know, they tell you about, they find this and they find that, and they have this and have that. They talk about the worldly stuff. But he said to us, stay away from them. Separate yourself from them. He says, but ye, beloved, building yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. He said, now, you got to use your holy language. We ought to be using our holy language when we get between some people. They're going to mock us and all type of stuff. But we ought to use our heavenly language so that, my God, we can set up our surroundings. My God, we'll be on fire because of who we are. Glory to God. He said, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. See, we're looking for this stuff, the mercy. Hallelujah, glory to God. The unmerited favor. We got to guard ourselves against the things of this world. Hallelujah. All of this division and stuff that's going on. He says, and others we have feared, glory to God, putting them out of the fire. Hallelujah. Others that we have feared, that were unclean, that we made are clean. But what we do, we reach and pull them out of that lifestyle of sin with the word of God. This is what we're supposed to do. That's why we come on Blog Talk Radio every day that we get a chance to, and we try to put a word out there that somebody out there, when they hear the word, may be convicted in their spirit, man, not to continue sin. Hallelujah. So now unto him that is able to keep us from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. That's the benediction right there. Now you have to, Peter says, in Acts 2:38, this is the last scripture we're going to give you. The last scripture. He says, Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Repent. That's the way you can say that you're gonna end up in paradise with Jesus Christ. If you live a repentant life, you can say without a shadow of doubt that you're going to end up in paradise with Jesus Christ. If you don't live a repentant life, you're going to hell. And a repentant life means that it just means that you have separated yourself. Not that you all that in a bag of chips and a Pepsi Cola, but you have separated yourself because the word of God has convicted you to separate yourself, to stay away from sin. Not that you're perfect. None of us are perfect. But I like to say that he's perfecting us every day. Every day he's perfecting us. So we separate ourselves. That's what sanctification is. You know, you're separated. You're being made holy. Each day he is sanctifying you. More word you study, the more word you hear, and you feasting at the table of God, you become more and more separated from the world, like the world of sin. Hallelujah. Sin is all around. I was looking last night, Lord, I tell you, Apostle, I wanted to send you all that stuff, but it's on my page. I couldn't get it sent in some other country. They had this man. I'm telling you, Bishop, it's a mess, man. I'm telling you, we living in a messy time, man. I'm telling you, we living in a messy time. Satan is busy, and this man was married. One, another one was a transvestite, but this man that was married, his wife couldn't get pregnant. So he had to call it, I don't know how, in vitro something. They do that, then they put the eggs inside of him. I was just a laughing man. You know, sometimes that's all you got to do, laugh at the devil. And the man got pregnant. Well, they put the stuff inside of him, put the injection, inject the eggs in him. Well, they say he born the baby. So I'm saying to myself, how could he born a baby? He don't have no vagina, but they say he born the baby. Well, they say he had all this sex things changing, all this stuff on him. You know, the world is crazy. The world is crazy. Then they had a woman. The man said, can you really believe this? This woman carried a baby in her belly for 5 years. They were doing something to stop her from having the baby. And the baby's a big old boy inside her, big old child inside her belly. Her belly, like she had 10 babies. That's how big her belly was. Like she had 10 children in her belly. I'm telling the standards is trying to work around God. They're trying to do stuff. Satan is busy. That's why we got to stay in this word. This is the last part of this thing that we did today. And he says, it's in Second Corinthians chapter 6. He said, wherefore, verse 17 and 18, he said, wherefore come out from among them and be separated, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. God said we got to separate ourselves. If we want to enter in with him, go to Revelation chapter 21 and 7. If we want to enter in with him, if we want to spend eternity with him, because we're going to spend eternity somewhere or another. Hallelujah. There's no escape. You're going to spend eternity somewhere. Revelation 21 and 7, he that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. This is what God is saying. So what we have to do is that we have to overcome. We're not going to overcome by just saying overcome. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. And then you have to don't like this love. Don't be in love with your life anymore, because that's what he says. You no longer love your life unto death. Tell this body go back to the dirt. My spirit body is living for Christ so I can inherit everlasting life. This is where it comes. Everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die. See, you don't have to physically die to go to heaven. You want to die to sin. Die to sin. We don't want to give up sin. We want to go to heaven. You know, we want to go to heaven. Nobody want to die to sin, because sin looks good. You ever seen them people getting ready? I mean, folk go to the hairdresser and go to the hair cutter. The men go to the hair cutter and the women go to the hairdresser on Saturday, Friday evening. They get everything. They already make their appointment because they're going out clubbing on Friday night and Saturday night. They prepare themselves to go out clubbing Because when they go there, they sit out there and they're drinking margaritas and gin and tonic and scotch and water and all this stuff. And all the fancy drinks, they got a lot of rusty nails. They got all these different things. The grasshopper. All this, I used to be a bartender too. So they're making all these drinks. Whiskey drying and not stirred and all kind of things that happen. And they're acting, holding the glass with two fingers, looking and got the fingers sticking all out on the side, looking all highfalutin, heading on their way to hell. Because the devil makes sin look so good. You get the haircuts and the hairdress and all that kind of stuff. And some people got hair and instead put wig on their head, because the wig looked better than their hair. Because they want to go club and look real elegant. Nobody's spending time to get their soul right for the Lord. He says, he that overcometh shall inherit all things, not some things. Can you imagine that all that God has prepared in heaven, that once you overcome, you're going to inherit all, not some? He said, all. In other words, you're going to have access to everything that God has. My God, that's a hallelujah praise right there. It's not like your mama give you a little BMW, but she got a Porsche in the next door. You know, you got different bays. Some people got four different doors to the house, garages. And they may have a Rolls Royce. They may have a Lamborghini. They may have a Ferrari, but they give you a Volkswagen. Because you don't drive right. You don't act right on scene sometimes. So mama said, I'm not going to let you drive. I'm not going to let you drive the Porsche. You can drive your Volkswagen. You can drive your little Audi. But God says, when you overcome everything that he has is his right here in this verse. He said you have access. Look, he said, he that overcometh, overcome what? Sin, the world system, shall inherit all things. I will be his God, and he shall be my son, a daughter, that same thing. It's right here. And then he gives you a synopsis of all of the stuff there that you got to overcome. Idolatry, abominable, whoremongering, sorcery, lying. All this stuff is in the text. All this stuff is in the text. But we don't want to let go. See, we want all this stuff that God has for us, but we don't want to let go of this stuff. This is the stuff of the flesh. Where will your destination be? Heaven or hell? Where will your destination be? We got to think about it. Because it's coming faster than we think. It's closer than we think. Our exit from this world is closer than we think.
Continue.
Listen to what he says.
How about the man that's pregnant?
Jeremiah. Jeremiah's 30, 31 and 1. Go to Jeremiah 31. People, this is serious, man. This is serious. I mean, we are at the place you can almost say we are living in the time.
Huh?
Okay.
Honey.
Yeah.
Oh. Wait.
We are living in the time of Sodom.
So they might be coming on
there. Sodom
in
the morning.
Where we at?
Huh? Yeah.
We apologize, Apostle.
Jesus, yes. Here in Jeremiah chapter 31, listen what he says. Glory to God. At the same time, saith the Lord, will I be the God of all the families of Israel, and they shall be my people. What is he talking about here? He's talking about when we come out, when we are separated from the world. Hallelujah. As long as we are connected to this world system, we are separated from God. It's the hindrance, it's the door that blocks us from experiencing the fullness of who God is. the world system. We want to inherit eternal life. And in order to inherit eternal life, we have to make a sound decision. We have to make a decision to live for Christ Jesus. Yes, and he says, thus says the Lord, the people which were left of the sword found grace in the wilderness. Even Israel, when I went to cause him to rest. God is speaking clearly. There's a remnant going to be left behind. You're going to find that unmerited favor. God has given us another chance to get it together. Can you go back and look at your life and see? Just take a look and see the people that we used to hang with before. How much of them are here with us today? And then when we look and see how we were acting up with them, but they were taking out the world, and God kept us. He kept us because he still had use for us. He still had purpose. He still had a plan. God wants to use us. He wants to use us for his glory. He wants to use us to give him glory while we're here in the land of the living. I told you I wasn't going to keep you too long today. I told you I wasn't going to keep you long. Hallelujah. Go back and listen to it. God is speaking to us very clearly. Very, very clearly. A deaf man can hear. Blind man can see. God is speaking to us. You look at the news, all of this foolishness going on. Time for us to really pray. I mean, I'm laying on my bed last night, tears in my eyes. I said, Lord, what's going on? What's all this? How's all this? He said, no, this stuff must happen. He said, all this stuff must happen. Don't get upset, son. All this stuff must happen. Before I return, all this stuff must happen. The devil must feel like he's winning. He must feel like he's winning, but he's already been defeated. Don't get upset. We have to stay on our post. You hear some preachers say, you know, the devil is very faithful. He and his agents are faithful to their cause. The only body that's not faithful is God's people. The saints are not faithful. The saints are not faithful, Apostle. God's people are not faithful. But the devil agents are faithful. They know they got to distract us. They got to distract us. They got to delay us. And if possible, they want to kill us. And they said, now I got to get to my point. I got to get there. I got to deceive him. Yes, let me send that woman. Let me just give her the incentive to go down there and test him. Let me send this man to test her. You know, let me just give her this food that she shouldn't be eating. Let me give him all this stuff. The devil agents are seriously faithful to their cause, destroying the servants of children of God. You're not faithful. You know what we got to? Just like he says. Just like he said in the word. Folk are faithful to their job. They're faithful to that 9 to 5 or 8 to 4 or whatever. They're faithful. But when it comes to God, we're not faithful. I'm guilty of that. Hallelujah. I'm not faithful. And God said, no, if you're going to win this battle and overcome, you're going to have to sacrifice. We have to sacrifice. He said, look, I sacrifice for you. Can't you sacrifice for me? This is what God wants. We want the crown. We want the robe. But we don't want to put in the work for it. Paul said you very plainly. Yes, you're saved. You're sanctified. You're washed in the blood, but you still got some work to do. That's why Satan is punching us all the time, coming all the time. Let me stop you. Yeah, people find reason why, well, this body's saying this, that body's saying that. I ain't going on Blog Talk Radio. I'm not going to the church building. Oh, well, let me tell you something. Jesus is not going to ask us about what this body said or the next body said or the next body do. He don't ask us why we didn't show up. Why we didn't show up to glorify him? That's what he's going to call us. That's what he's going to say to us. He's not going to say, why didn't you preach? Why didn't you sing? Why didn't you play the organ? You was the best one I put for that church to play the keyboard, but you wouldn't play. You find an excuse not to play all the time. You find an excuse not to sing, not to dance. You say you was in the choir, but you find an excuse not to go to choir practice. Always have an excuse. You say, I have people here ministering. You know that, Apostle. We have people ministering on here. We love them. We still love them. But when we ask them to preach, they have an excuse. Always got an excuse. So you know what God said? God said, don't ask them no more. He told me that. Don't ask them no more. And I said, okay, Lord, I don't ask them no more. I'm not going to ask them no more. You know? And if I tell somebody, as God says, well, you sit down, rest your voice, son, and get Sister So-and-so, get Brother So-and-so, come and preach. And they say, well, they come and then they don't show up. Man, I ain't asking them again. I'm going to ask them again. No, Pastor, I'm not going to ask them again. That's the truth.
I ain't going to ask them again.
No. But the word of God is saying this, man. This God said that he has so much prepared for the saints. It's all over the book. You look in there, God has so much prepared for us. So much. We gravitate to the little foolishness that the devil is showing us in this world. And we lose focus of the big picture. I mean, he has a crown of pure gold. Gold on the earth is contaminated. Do you hear what I'm saying? Gold on the earth is contaminated. It has zinc in it. It got lead in it. It got copper in it. It got brass in it. Even when it talks pure gold, no, it's not pure. It has to have some other additive to it, some other mineral to hold it together. But the gold in heaven is pure. It's like silk, the gold in heaven. And God said he had a crown of pure gold for the saints. A robe that's dipped in Emmanuel's blood, and yet still it's lily white. Oh, my God. Can you understand what I'm saying? He has blessings for us beyond our comprehensions. But we are gravitating to the blessings here on the earth. God said the stuff on the earth is only for you, just for you to use while you're here. Don't get yourself tied to it. It's a loan just for you to use while you're here. My car is just a loan. I'm not tied to it. People scratch it. People do it. Man, I said, look, if they scratch it, I'll get some rub and compound and buff it up. I'm not going to get up and go mess somebody up and hurt somebody. I said, no. I'm going to get another one if I got to. God said, now I want you to focus on getting this word out. That's your focus. Your focus is getting the word out in the world and in you. It's doing two things. It's going inside you and it's going out of you. Hallelujah. What's going inside of you is to build you, build us. And what's going out of us is to cause the world to be drawn to him so they can be built up, this word of God. Because I'm telling you, it shows that my name is David Callender. Hell is pure. Hell is ready. Not pure, but hell is sure. That's what I mean. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Because hell is not pure. Hell is sure. Heaven is sure. Believe what I'm telling you. And folk is being deceived by Satan, telling them that hell is not real. You got some preachers, you know the preachers, they're going out there telling the people that hell is not. Why would a loving God make hell? He made hell for Satan and his agents, not for the children of God, not for people, not even for dogs, not even for cats. But Satan deceived the people, and many of them will end up with him. You remember when I put in the message today? When Jesus talked to the rich man in Luke chapter 18, and the rich man, he told the rich man about the commandments and honor his mother and father and all this, he told him, the rich man. And the man says, oh, I do all that stuff. First, he starts to talk to God, telling him, good master. He said, why you call me God? Only one as good as God. Yeah, Jesus is God too, but he's got to get to him. Jesus got to reach him. And Jesus says, what I got to do to receive eternal life? And Jesus said, well, you got to do the commandments, and you got to don't lie, don't commit adultery. said, only your mother and father. He said, well, I do all them stuff. He was so boastful. He pushed his chest up. He had his chest up while he was talking to Jesus. Oh, Rabbi, I do all those things. Even from my youth, I was doing those things. I was trained. I was taught by my parents to do those stuff. Jesus said, okay. Jesus looked in his heart. Jesus done check his bank account. God, I thank you. Jesus done check his bank account. Jesus said he's rich. He said, okay. I'm going to get him anywhere. I'm going to put him to a stronger test now. He said, well, look, why don't you go sell all that you have and give to the poor and follow me? Then you will have treasure in heaven. Oh, Lord. The young man's face just dropped so heavy like us. Dropped so heavy. And Jesus looked at his countenance and said, Jesus said, look, he's not going to sell his stuff. He worshiped all the materialistic things he had more than he wanted to worship God. It was more important. Jesus told him, he said, where your treasure is, there's where your heart will be also. We put all interest on all our stuff. All our stuff. You know, God got me to a place, man, I take off watch and gold bracelets and stuff off my hand and give to preachers. Diamond ring off my finger and give to preachers. Because I was so caught up in that stuff. You know, because I was coming off of crack cocaine and I wanted to have the gold, this and the diamond, this and that, and I thought that was it. But once I got close to God, once he drew me in and I started getting close to him and I could feel his presence, all that stuff they had on me. I had a heavy, heavy gold, heavy. I figure real gold bracelet we bought from many years ago from QVC. So we had a QVC account. And then QVC was real big. Remember, it was Washington, D.C. And I give it to a preacher. Heavy gold. I'm sure if I had that gold on my hand now, I could get $7,000 for it without a deal because gold is so high. But I don't miss it. It just came to my mind. I don't grieve giving the preacher because I lost to get to. We have to get to a place where all the other stuff is mediocre. It's kingdom business, kingdom business. Somebody dying right now, dying and going to hell because somebody didn't tell them, couldn't take the time to tell them about Jesus. Somebody couldn't take the half an hour to explain salvation to them because the lifestyle they were living. Well, the dope pusher need to go to heaven, know about Jesus. The prostitute needs to know about Jesus. The homosexual needs to know about Jesus. The lesbian needs to know about Jesus. The liar, the gossiper. Everybody, let's put it there, everybody needs to know about Jesus. Let them know so that, listen, when the sword comes, they can't say that we'll talk about that tomorrow. They can't say they didn't hear the word. They can't say they didn't hear. You got to tell them, Bishop. You got to tell them. We got to tell them. And then when we come up there, we are sitting there, we are standing there before the white throne of judgment seat. And they come up and they say, well, nobody tell us everybody know over there. So a son, daughter, what's this one tell you? Don't deny because bishop over here, apostle over there, the deacon over there, the elder over there can tell. They are my witnesses. They are my witnesses. Glory to God. The Bible said we got such a great cloud of witnesses. They're watching us in heaven. They're watching us. The great witnesses are watching us to see what we are doing. Are we sharing the gospel? Are we playing around with the gospel?
Mm-hmm.
How important is souls are to us? Yesterday, all of a sudden, my phone started acting up yesterday. And God is so faithful to us, Apostle. He is so faithful to us. My phone was acting up. And the wife called, she called Verizon. And she said, well, the phone is just a little over 2 years old. Why is it acting up? It's cutting in and cutting out. And they told her, we're going to send him a new phone. Brand new phone. I got the new phone. I got the new phone yesterday evening. I mean, they sent that thing up, man. The truck came down the road so fast. You know what I'm telling you? and new phone, and they give me a, I think, a $900 credit for my phone, Apostle. All I got to do is pay $1 a month. $1 a month. Don't tell me God would. If you live right, God would look out for you. God would cover you. God would bless you. Look, I go. All I got to pay is $1. $1 a month. I got to pay for this phone. $1 a month. $1 with a bill. That's all it cost me. The phone got me. Phone is actually paid off. I ain't got to pay but $1 a month to the bill. God, if you live right, he said, I make even your enemy at peace with you. Even your enemy, he at peace with you.
That's right.
Glory to God. Even your enemy. You just got to live right.
Yes.
He's trying to get caught up with his word. Man, leave this word alone. This world don't have no, don't care for us, don't want us around. This world don't care for us. What we got to do is do what God say. God, he said, I promise to make crooked places straight for you, son. I make rough places plain. That's what God said. If God said it, you can believe it. That says it. You don't have to go nowhere else looking for no answers. Trust him. A lot of times we say we trust God, but this is what we do. Oh, this phone is so clear. I told my baby last, I said, man, this phone is clear. Oh, I said, let me just call you. I'll just call her. She and I was like, call her. Let me just call you. I just want to hear your voice over the phone. It's so clear. I was just so happy. I said, this phone is clear. It's clear. Man, I'm telling God, God loves us. And we got to show him back love by loving our brothers and sisters. We read that scripture this morning in John, and 1 John chapter 5. We read that scripture. You love him. You got to love the brothers. You can't love Jesus and don't love the brothers. You know, and not only the brothers of the household of faith, you got to love those ones that are not of the household of faith too, the ones that are outside. You know, we say, oh, I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus, but I can't stand my sister in the church. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus, but I don't like my brother at all. That's what we do. That's what we do. You don't love your brother. We sing it out loud. Push their chest up, but can't stand their brother or sister in Christ. And God just took it, and the angels just shake their head. Wants to get you out of position quick, saying they love each other. Father, we just thank you and praise you, O God, for this word that you have given us. And Lord, we know that you loved us. We know that you love us because you proved your love to us. You didn't have to. You loved us so much that you sent your son to lay down his life at Calvary, Lord. And because he has laid down his life, we can stand up. We can stand up and testify that he is Lord, that he is Savior, that he is Redeemer, and that he is soon coming King. And without him, there is no salvation. Doesn't matter what anyone says. Without him, there is no salvation. And we thank you, Father. We thank you for the time that you have given us in this earthly realm. Lord, we thank you for, and we pray, we thank you for Apostle Washington, Bishop Washington, for their steadiness in the kingdom. Thank you for a brother deacon. He's always here with me. Gets here first before I can get here. Like he got a light on me. But you know what? Thank God for him. We had a good time. He and I and my grand last night on the line. And we just praise the Lord. Father, thank you for brother Peter, Lord, for your working out things for his good and for your glory. You never fail to do what you said you would do, Lord. You know, men fail, women fail, people fail, but you never fail. And we thank you for that, Lord, for being faithful to your word. You are faithful to your word. What you say, like the songwriter says, what you say, you will do. What you say, you will do. And we thank you for that, Lord. So we stand on your word today, as always, Lord. Bless the airways, the four corners, the north, the south, the east, and the west. And Lord, let your word go forth and let it become a lamp to all those that hear it. And a light to all those that see it. Let it become a lamp. A light and a lamp, oh God, in Jesus' holy name. Bishop, the line is open. If you want to come on and do the prayer salvation, you could. The line is open.
And you all let me know when you are, because I know you all got a lot of stuff going on. Just let me know when you all can come on, because we're going to work this thing between you all and myself. Okay?
Praise the Lord. I will let you know.
Yes.
So it's more clear. We're going to let you know, Pastor. For all who have not received Jesus as their Lord and Savior, as Apostle was saying in the message, there's no other way. There's no other name mentioned under heaven. No other name mentioned under heaven. No one but Jesus Christ. And for God so loved the world, sent his only begotten Son to be the ultimate sacrifice. No one was worthy but Jesus be the sacrifice. So he took on all the sins of the world, all the iniquities. He took on every pain and every suffering to save us, the unworthy servants. But God so loved us. We have to appreciate that, and we do appreciate it. Now, if you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, don't hesitate. I say this sometimes like a game, but if anybody has ever played Monopoly, you know, a game of Monopoly, you get one court says go to jail. Okay? Spiritual Monopoly don't work that way. The Monopoly board that we played when I was a kid, it says, a chance, and then you have get out of jail free cards. Ain't no getting out of hell free cards. Don't call it over and out of God's graces. It's not a game. It's your eternal spiritual being. Do not make Jesus' dying in vain. No, don't do it. Don't do it to yourself. Don't do it to him, first of all. Don't do it to yourself and your family and everyone else that you love. But the ultimate thing is that you die and you go to hell. Even the suffering from flames of hell fire won't be as bad as the separation from Jesus Christ. You would never see Jesus. And that is the most horrific thing that could ever happen to you. And it's for eternity. You don't stop. Don't stop suffering. Now, if you've been baptized before, if you've backslidden, and you want to come back home, prodigal sons and daughters, turn around quickly. Open the door to Jesus. He's standing at the door waiting. Give him honor, glory, and praise as you should. Come back home and repent. Repent. Now, confession is made in the book of Romans, chapter 10, beginning at verses 8 and 9. And the word of God says very clearly, repent. Okay? It tells you to repent. Now, if the word says in verse 8, if you, the word is near you, it's in your mouth, and that means that you have to speak it out. The enemy cannot read your thoughts, so he don't know if you're accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior. But once you open your mouth and say it, I accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior, I don't want to go to hell, I want to be with Jesus Christ for all eternity. Once you've said that, the enemy's coming. He's coming strong. You know what? Just keep saying it. Keep believing it. If you believe that Jesus died for our sins and that God raised him from the dead, you're saved. It's a simple question. You're saved. Speak it out. Don't have to scream to the top of your lungs. Just speak the word out into the atmosphere. And the enemy will know that you're not following him anymore. And the word is repent. Repent. Do not go back to the way you were living. Do not. Please do not. We don't have time to play around with this. The enemy is coming near. And the time you're trying to have a man to have a baby, as I said on yesterday, with Adam and Eve in the garden, Eve sinned, and through childbirth, okay, the woman, not man, through childbirth, man suffers by the sweat of his brow from work. didn't say anything about a man getting pregnant and having a baby. Nothing. And the word of
God. Right.
Read it for yourself.
Right.
Genesis. Read it for yourself. Now, you've never been baptized, and you must be baptized. And the only way to be baptized is like in the book of Acts, chapter 2, beginning at verse 38. And Peter said, repent, every one of you. Separate yourself from this perverse generation. Repent and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And it's an outside to the whole world, to everybody. You know that if you go down in the liquid pool, it's a sign of dying to sin and rising with Jesus Christ for eternal glory, eternal life. God bless each and every one of you. And if anyone has not returned yet, was backslidden, hurry back, brothers and sisters. Don't hesitate. Don't wait. You know the game. Don't hesitate. Don't play around. Don't play around with your eternal life. Please. And once you've repented, don't go back, people. You're brand new Christians. You have other Christians that will pray with you. Read your word every day. If you don't have a Bible, I suggest that you get yourself a Bible. King James, New King James, New Living Translation, all good Bibles. You know, read your Bible. Take your time every day and read a scripture or two. Ask the Holy Spirit to lead and guide you in all truth, which is the Word of God, all truth. None of in the Bible is a lie. Nothing in the Bible is a lie. It's all truth. Hallelujah. Glory to His holy name. So congratulations, brothers and sisters, new brothers and sisters. Hallelujah. Welcome to the family of God. God bless you and yours, and be safe. In Jesus' name, amen. Apostle, back to you.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Bishop, for that prayer of salvation. We just thank God for that and pray that someone near or far would hear the word.
And amen.
Receive the gift, you know, because the Bible said don't just be hearers of the word, but be doers of the word. So that means once you hear it, you got to do. Uh-huh. You got to do something. You got to step out, like Peter stepped out the boat, and you got to step out in faith and receive salvation in faith.
Right.
You know. So we thank God. Thank God for that. Such a time to be in the Lord. I tell you, I just bless the Lord because I'm seeing so much stuff that the people are doing right now. And even, you know, it's hard, you know, because the Bible said we have to also be political. You know, we can't just be in the church. Jesus was political. He dealt with them people that was the Roman government and all that stuff. He dealt with all that stuff. The Sadducees and Pharisees and all those that were dealing in the temple, and they had the political sect with the governor, the governors of Rome and all that. They were dealing with the church, and so they had to deal with them. So when we're seeing these people now, they're coming up now, they don't want you to talk about this and don't talk about that. And if you say this, they're going to take your 501c exempt stuff. I mean, all this foolishness. And people say, we got to preach the truth. Jesus says to Peter, go down to the river, throw the line over there. The first fish you hook, they open his mouth. And take that coin and pay my taxes, pay your taxes, you know. He said, give to God what belongs to God, to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, and give to God what belongs to God. You know, we can't, if you went to church, stop paying taxes, the government have control. You know, you don't belong to God, you belong to the government. Government tell you, going to tell you what to say. I don't never want that stuff. 501c, well, we can buy this and buy that. We don't have to pay, man, pay your taxes. If you buy a speaker, pay the taxes. Buy a microphone, pay the taxes. You know, pay it. I got phone. I had the phones for the longest time. I had them, I don't know, about 15, 20 years ago, I had got the phones. And never did. One lady called me. She said, Pastor, don't worry about it. I would do it for you. She said, I would pastor then. She said, Pastor, I was a youth pastor. She said, I would do it for you. I'd do it for you so you can have 501c. And the Lord didn't lead me to get it. You're somewhere around here somewhere. I don't know where they are. I don't remember them. It just came to me. And Lord said, I don't want you to get it. Because once you get 501c, Let me tell you something. They got control. You're not paying no taxes. And the government going to come into people. A lot of these churches, these big churches, you say, watch this. Take my word. They're going to go in them churches because they say so. And they're going to see what they're preaching. They're going to see what they're preaching. You're going to see what they're preaching. That's why we see a lot of them don't say Jesus, this and Jesus, that. And then a lot of them don't preach against sin because that's the world system. Sin is the head of the world system. You know, that's what they operate on. And once you start preaching against sin, they call you homophobic. They call you this thing and next thing because you're preaching against sin. No, we're not preaching against you. We're preaching against sin. Jesus said very plain this morning. He came to seek and to save that which is lost. That's the scripture he said. Very, very plain. To seek and to save that which is lost. And we have to preach it. If we don't preach it, we out of order. We just plumb out of order. We can't preach prosperity. God said, look, beloved, I wish above all things that you would prosper and be in health, even as your soul prosper. So we know that God wants us to prosper, but we're not basing our ministry on prosperity in the natural. If we prosper, when we win souls, we are prospering. We are prospering, even as your soul prosper. So we got to feed the soul of the people. Before we talk to them about getting a job and get this, and you know we got so caught up in the church and said, well, you can't pay your tithe because you don't have a job. The bishop should say that you don't have a job, you need to get a job because all they're concerned about is them people giving tithes and giving offers. They weren't concerned about the people's soul. I was in a church like that, and that was the bishop said, well, everybody needs to have a job. Why? Because if everybody have a job, the church gonna make more money. But everybody need to live. Everybody need to live holy. Everybody need to live upright before God. Being right standing with God. When you hear them say that, you would know you're in the right church. But everybody need to have a job because everybody should be paying tithes and giving offerings. That's what they say. They're not concerned with your destination. They're not concerned with your final destination. Your final destination is not the grave. A lot of people say that. I talk about that on the line too. That they know them people come from the funeral home. They say, well, do your loved ones final destination, how it's going to be? They want to give you a contract, insurance contract, so you'll have a nice casket or something. But you better be concerned with the final destination is going to be heaven, eternity with God, the most sovereign God. They're not concerned about that. Anyway, I'm finished, man. The line is open. Anyone want? Thank you so much, Brother Bishop. Thank God for you and for your lovely wife, my sister. Thank God. The line is open.
Amen. Amen. Thank God for the word. Thank you, Jesus, for your sacrifice. The Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. He gave it all up for us. For the whole world. Mm-hmm. Not just for some. But for everyone who would make a decision to live and not die. Because there is a place for us. And when I say that, Apostle, thank you so much for this word. When I say there's a place for us, there's a place for everybody. And you made it very plain and very clear. There's only two places to go. You made it very clear. There's no in-between. There's no, like the Catholics believe, not picking on the Catholics, but they believe in purgatory, that there's a middle place, there's some middle ground where the people can pray you out of a situation or pray you out of, pray for you, and so that the life you live, whether you died in sin or not, that you can still make it to heaven. They have perpetual prayers. They light candles for the dead. You have made it very clear. That won't help. You got to have the light of Jesus. The lit That's candle right. will not help the people that are dead. We don't even need That's to right. pray for the people who have already left this place. It's no use. It won't do any good. We have to receive him while we have time. You can go light all the candles you want. Go pray to this saint and that saint, and even pray to Mary. They pray to Mary for the dead. Mary is gone. Jesus, the Bible tells us clearly that Jesus Christ is our intercessor. Our intercessor. And Jesus Christ is praying for the dead. We're praying for the dead that are dead, the zombies that are walking this earth, because their soul is dead.
Yes,
it's like a zombie. You don't have life. Your soul is dead. And until you get life and life more abundantly from Jesus Christ, from the one who died for all of our sins, you're dead forever. And I like that you mentioned the Pharisees and the scribes. Jesus told them exactly who their father was, because he knew their spirit.
Right.
Regardless to what they were doing to look good, he read that he knows their spirit. Hallelujah. And he read them, and people are reading us. People are reading
us.
He read them.
That's right.
So we can read too by what we do. They were saying one thing out of their mouth, giving God lip service, but they weren't giving him their life. And so Jesus let them know, your father is the father of lies. We don't have the same father. Amen. Because what you are saying, you're saying one thing, but you're doing something else. You can't just be hearers of the word, but you said it in the message. You have to be doers of the word. And to be a doer of the word, you got to follow Jesus Christ all the way, not some of the way, not just by speaking the word. It's very clear. Faith without works is dead. Take up your cross and follow me. And follow me. When you're following Jesus, you're doing what's right by the laws in the land. You're doing what's right by people. You're doing what's right in your life. He said, do what's right and do what's just. And that's what living a life of righteousness is all about. So if you're not, if you're saying it and not doing it, God is not hearing that. God is not blessing that. Amen. And so that's what they were doing. And he told them, he said, you are like a whitewashed tomb.
That's right.
My God, you look clean on the outside, but you are corrupt on the inside. You are dead.
My Lord.
Dead, corrupt, and your father is the father of lies. My God, he read them. He told them just who they were. So you're not we're not fooling God. We can't fool God. You can fool, they say you can fool some of the people some of the time, but you can't fool all the people all the time. And that, you know, that God, but God, you could never fool God, never, ever fool God, because he sees it all. He's an all-knowing, all-seeing, everywhere-present God, everywhere-present at the same time. Now, why you want to try to fool God? There's no way it's going to work. There's no way we can run. There's no way we can hide. David said, even when I made my bed in hell, you were there.
You were right there.
God is there.
My.
He's right there. Thank God for the mercy. Thank God for the mercy that endured forever. Because while we were yet in sin, he saved us. Amen.
Yes,
while we
Lord.
Were yet
yes,
in sin,
yeah.
he poured out his mercy.
That's right.
He poured out his grace, giving us time because God is a long-suffering God. One thing about God, there's nobody long-suffering like God. Amen.
Jesus.
He allows people, you know, the old people used to say, bad grass don't die, because you got old people still doing the same thing they've been doing all their life. And they used to say, grass don't die. Well, God could let them go out. He could take them out, but he's poured out mercy. Mercy. You're still alive, and while you're still alive, you still got time. You still got time to give God your life. So now is the time. Now is the time. Praise God. Don't be like the scribes. We don't want to be like the scribes, giving God some lip service. God is not a part-time God. You can't serve him right now.
My Lord.
Say, oh, well,
that's
do
right.
my own thing. He's not a part-time lover. He's all-time. He's all-time, always, forever, and his line is always open. He is on the main line. God's line is always open for us, and we can always cry out to God. We can always say, today is the day, as God draws. And as I said in the last message, that God has the drawing fast. It's the light of God
that
draws people. It's the love of God that draws people. And you made it so clear in the message. We have to have that love because people are reading us. And they're looking for some reason to say we're hypocrites, to say we're just like everybody else. And so looking. The enemy is watching. And what I love about what you said is that the enemy is faithful. I always say that. He's faithful to do evil. And we're supposed to be faithful to do what's right. Amen. So I'm glad you made that message, that call faithfulness. I'm glad you said that. It's faithful. And so the Pharisees weren't faithful. The scribes weren't faithful. The Sadducees weren't faithful. It was very sad that they were on the verge of losing their soul because they chose to be liars. They chose the father of lies for their father. Amen. And so I thank God for this message. It's supposed to be an eye opener, but some people are still asleep. Still asleep.
Yeah.
And what is asleep? Asleep meaning no matter how many messages I hear, no matter how much people pour out and pour in, I'm still not going to receive. Why? Because you're still sleeping.
Mm.
And God is not going to force this word on anybody, but he does have power. There's power in the word of God, and there's also power in evil, and people don't want to believe it. That's right, darling. Say amen to that. Amen. Glory to God. The puppy, when I'm preaching, she does that.
Yeah.
She's so beautiful. But anyway, so praise God. I really like that you said that, though. We got to be doers of the word. God is not a
first-time
God. He's going to do what he says all the time. Amen. So we got to be with God all the time and make up our mind no matter what the sacrifice is. We got to make it, and there should be no excuse, like you say. We got to put the excuses down, lay aside every weight, lay aside everything, and God will help you do it.
That's right.
He's divine. We're the branches, and the branch has to be pruned. Amen. All the dead stuff branch got to be pruned off. If you want to grow and sprout new fruit, and you want to bear more fruit, the branches have to be pruned, and God's going to prune, and he's going to test our faith. So let's just be faithful to God, be faithful to the things of God, and you're right. When God, I heard the same thing, don't call no more, don't ask no more, because I asked a couple of people a few times to come and give a word, but you know what, don't ask no more, don't call no more.
That's right.
If they don't want it, they don't want it. If they don't want to be with us, if they don't want to come to the line, fine. That's their prerogative. Jesus already said, you got to make a choice. Make a choice. God gives us that. Isn't that beautiful? God is just not going to kill us and destroy us because he's a loving and kind God. So thank you, Apostle. I won't be long. I just thank you so much for that word. We got to keep pushing it out, and we got to continue to let our light shine everywhere we go. If Jesus is in us, the light is going to shine. There's no dark in
light. Right.
Can't walk together. Two can't come together. Two can't come together unless they agree. Amen? And darkness and light are simply the opposite. We can't walk together unless we agree. We got to agree on the word. And if people are not in agreement, kick up the dust and keep it moving. But give them the word. And one thing people always say, oh, you're not ready to hear this. Because if I tell you this and something happened and then you're still living in sin, then you're going to die and go to hell. No, you better give it to them. They got to make sure whether they're going to receive it or not. I don't want to tell you that because I don't want but you see, that person's blood is going to be on your hands. If you don't give the message of the cross, if you don't give them that salvation message, then you are going to be responsible for that person. Not responsible, but your hands are going to be bloody. Your life is going to be in jeopardy. Amen. So praise the Lord, Apostle. I just want to touch on a few points.
Thank you so much.
Because it's so very important that we listen. We learn, we listen, that's how we learn, and then we got to do what we learn. You said the other day, make application. Just because you know something, if you don't apply it, it won't do any good at all.
That's right.
A habit is a habit. Whether it's a good habit or a bad habit, they're habits. And bad habits are hard, hard, hard to break. We know that about all habits. Amen. They're very hard to break, but it's easy to break the good habits. Amen. So we all have to examine and shape up because we all need examination every day. Every day we got to examine ourselves. Amen. And follow the laws.
Yeah.
Follow the laws. Give unto Caesar what Caesar's. And you said that. And render to Caesar's what is Caesar's and to God what is God's. Hallelujah. So we're not supposed to praise and do the things of the world. And I look at Caesar as the things of the world and doing the things of the world. But not only that, there are laws in the land that are made. And God says, do what's right. So even the laws, don't go speeding if you know, Wally. I don't see no cops, so I can still speed. That's just an example. Because one day you're going to get a ticket. One day you're going to get a ticket.
You better believe it. That's right.
They got cameras now that's picking it up. So one day you go. One day you keep on breaking that law and racing if you want to. Yeah, yep. You're going to have to get a letter.
You know,
that's right, Bishop.
Bishop right is there.
So, that's right. So you're going to get a letter in the mail saying that you were speeding on this day and that and how much the fine is.
That's
and you better
right.
pay it or they'll have a warrant out. You have a warrant. Amen.
You don't pay it by that date.
You got to pay it by that date and show up in court.
And you know,
so
Bishop,
he's going to do what's right. Amen.
The three police now in North Carolina, three police officers in North Carolina now that are in the jail right now. They're behind bars. What they did, and what you said, that brought it to my mind. What they did, they busted drug dealers. You listen to me, Bishop. You know, they busted these drug dealers, these cocaine dealers, methamphetamine, heroin, and they put them people in the jail detention center. They go back, they took the money, the cash money, and they put they keep the cash money. Then they go back into the holding place where they got the you know where they keep the drugs. These three bigger brothers and took them cocaine and heroin, all that stuff out. They took the money and took the drugs.
Yeah,
they didn't
yeah,
know that
yeah.
they got cameras
they
in that
put
place.
Put in evidence.
And when you say
that
stuff,
put in evidence,
in evidence room. Evidence room. And they got them.
No. It'll go to the evidence room. And you know who gets in
the they took it in the evidence room.
Evidence room. Now, they didn't
but
in
they put
it
in the evidence room.
Whoever's working.
Stole it out
yeah,
there.
Go steal
and
it.
Took the money and everything out the box. And guess what? They were on camera, Apostle. They were on camera. Three fools, man.
Apostle.
And now they're behind bars.
There's a beautiful, beautiful young lady. Apostle Linda saw her picture. She's a beautiful young lady. She was made a police captain. Okay? I mean, she is beautiful. And she was doing something. Okay, you have paid details. You know, she's supposed to be on a patrol on the job. She's a captain. She's a watch commanders, right? You're supposed to check on all the people in your district, okay? And what she wasn't thinking about. Now, this woman's a police captain. She knows they have these things, but she's not thinking. Her unit has got a license plate number. And every time your unit passes one of these cameras, it picks it up. She'd be 10, 15 miles away from where she's supposed to be. She's working some detail somewhere, and she's supposed to be on duty. She'd go report to the detail, leave the detail, and go somewhere else and do another detail. Hey, I'm reporting in on this detail. Now, people are paying her to work a pair of detail, and she's doing it on her duty time. But she's not using her head. You know, she is using her head to hold that beautiful cap that they have all braided up and stuff on the front. Beautiful. That's all she's doing. Using it to enhance her looks. Yeah. And she makes that cap look good. But she's also making herself look bad. They have about nine different of her license plates. 10, 15 miles away from where she's supposed to be.
Wow.
And she's on some detail somewhere, and she'll work there for an hour or so, or a couple of hours, whichever way she's doing it. And I'm going to get me a bite to eat or some excuse.
Mm-hmm.
And she leaves. And she'll go somewhere else and say, I'm reporting in, you know, I got to make a run. I'll be right back. And she goes somewhere else. Meanwhile, she's on payroll. You know, you can't do it. You cannot work a pay a detail when you're on duty, on your regular shift.
Wow.
I mean, she's got a radio.
So she got charged?
If you want her, you can call her. Oh, did she ever get charged? Every they want to completely out
to another department in the
yeah. Well, they have to put on administrative leave.
The police department
yeah, see, they put you on administrative leave.
Yeah, but they
okay, until you are convicted.
Yeah.
And once you get convicted, she can't go on any police department anywhere in this country.
But she's supposed to be on administrative. Mm. The people doesn't want, they do not
they don't want her an administrative
any position.
Yes, but the thing is, honey, is the thing is, you got to file a protocol. If you get a rookie officer or a senior officer,
mm-hmm.
you got to give them the same thing.
Amen.
You know, you got to go through the process,
mm-hmm.
and once you go through the process, they'll slam the door on you, and they might incarcerate her because
yeah.
that's systematic theft.
That's stealing, yeah.
Yeah, big time.
That's stealing.
I need details.
Mm-hmm.
When I was working details, I mean, you know, we was getting $8.50 an hour on regular pay, regular patrol pay, you know, and back in the day now, right? $8.50. And then as you make rank, you know, you go up in salary per hour. But we had details. So you get a detail paying $12-$13 an hour. That's $4, $5 over your regular pay. So you was going to go work that detail. You know, that's extra money. And now you have to report every detail you work. You have to report it to them. You can't just go get a detail on your own. You know, you have to report it to the city. You know? And if you don't, and they catch you working the detail, somebody recognize you. What you doing? Oh, I'm working on detail here. You know, hey, let me tell you, your worst enemy is a police officer is another police officer. Because they'll say,
right.
oh, I tell you, you can do it and I can't, see? So they go rat you out. You're going to rat you out. You know, the thing
there's a great jealousy spirit in the police department, too. You know, there's a great jealousy,
right.
spirit of
that's
jealousy
right.
in the police department.
Yep, jealousy. Yep. And I'm going to tell you, people say, oh, man, that's racism. No, no, no. They don't care what race. You could be the same race as them or a different race.
That's right.
You,
mm-hmm.
you got something that they want. You know, and they'll maneuver all kinds of stuff to get in that position. They'll tell somebody in the higher position about it. I've seen it happen. You know, I said, now, you know, this is wrong. You know, people trying to make a little extra money, and they want to, you know, they want to cut in on your territory. So, you know, I quit working them. I quit working the details. Because, you know, that way you can't cross me up with that. You cannot cross me
yeah.
up with
that. And that's stupid too, man, because when you get to that position that she's at, she was at, she making good money.
Yes,
she's making good money. When you get to
money.
She making good money when
well,
you get to that position. But she was greedy. She wants to make more, you know.
That's right. That's right. The rich get richer. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She might spend some jail time.
She might. Now, she could have been like this lady was one of the first black women they put on the police department. She ended up being superintendent of police, the first female. They haven't had another one since. So she could have been in that position. They could have picked her next, you know. But she'll never make it now. She's not gonna be able to stay on the department. Dumb move. And she's got some years.
Yeah,
you know?
Nobody
I mean,
can
come
trust
on, her. Captain.
Yeah.
She's got to have at least about 15, 16 years or more. And she's
wow.
Oh,
and she blew that.
Oh man, did she ever blow it? Beautiful job. Yeah. She's probably making about $25 an hour on a regular basis. But God help her. That's all I can say. God help.
All right, Brother Bishop, go ahead and pray us out. Go ahead and pray us out, Brother Bishop. I'll talk to you all later. Let me know what time of the week you all can come on. I got a few things I'm going to do around here. And
We will. Okay. Well, may the Lord bless and keep us. May the Lord shine his face upon us and give us peace. Until we meet again, let's pray for each other one to another. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen.
Amen, love amen. Everyone. Remember, I love you all, but God loves you more, okay? I'll talk to you all soon, Pastor.
All right,
and we're not calling anybody, okay? We're not calling anybody.
That's all right. That's right. Agreed.
All right. I'll talk to you later. All right. All right. All right. Bye-bye.